name is John Robert White. I'm a professor of anthropology and archaeology at Youngstown State University. Newly retired and participating actively in speaking of history.
The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. You're listening to a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. And you're listening to episode number 65, which is being recorded on February 13th, 2007. Well, we woke up today here in the Kansas City area to about 4 or 5 inches of snow, a little bit of blowing snow and a little bit of cold temperature. So they decided to give us the day off, and I thought I'd take a little bit of time today to edit a recent interview that I did with the author of a book called Hands-On Archaeology, Real Life Activities for Kids. The author of that book is John R. White, and Mr. White is a professor of anthropology at Youngstown State in Ohio. And I got this book about 3 or 4 months ago and really enjoyed it a lot as a classroom teacher because it has excellent examples. I think there's over 40 different activities that you can use with your students, and not all of them involve going out and digging in the dirt. There's quite a few things that you can do in your classroom to kind of explain some of the concepts and some of the terms that you need to know about archaeology. And he also has many forms that you can replicate and copy and use with your students, and a lot of background information. Because as a teacher, I don't know a lot about the science of archaeology, and if I want to incorporate that into my classroom, I want to make sure that I'm addressing the scientific aspect as well as the historical aspect. So here's my phone interview with Dr. White about his book, Hands-On Archaeology, Real Life Activities for Kids. All right, well, I'm here with Dr. John White, professor of anthropology at Youngstown State University in Ohio, and he is the author of a book that I recently discovered called Hands-On Archaeology, Real Life Activities for Kids. And I just wanted to talk to Dr. White a little bit, because this book is really well written, and I think that a lot of teachers would find it very useful for classroom activities. I've done a couple really small archaeology activities in my classroom, but this gives you lots of detail. It also talks about some very simple things, and it gives a lot of background on how to be an archaeologist. Because as a teacher, I don't have an archaeology background, but I know that you need to follow certain procedures if you want to do it correctly, right?
That's right.
So you do a great job of laying out, you know, how to create forms and how to record what you find and background information. I think there's like 40-some activities in here. So it's a great resource for somebody to start with. Now, if I'm a teacher, and most of the people listening to the podcast are teachers, if I want to incorporate archaeology in some way into my history classroom, do I need to get as involved as going out and creating a mock dig or doing a big activity outside, or can I start smaller than that?
Yeah, actually the way I designed the book was so that you could attack it from a number of positions. It covers a number of grades from about third or fourth grade up to high school, and you can put it at whatever level you want to, and you can enter the book at any point. Some people who are blessed with a site near their school, like the first person that tested my site book a few years back, happened to have an old deserted residence site next to the school. Then 50 feet of the school, there was a foundation of an old house. So she could actually use that house as a site and bring the artifacts to the school and process them. So she had a genuine archaeological site, so to speak. Other teachers that I've given the book to have created their own site. They did not have one in place, so they went out and layered with sand and silt and built one maybe 10 feet in diameter and about 5 feet high and layered and put the artifacts in proper order and then had the kids dig it. So you could either do it as entirely classroom using the activities, or you could use supplement a real site or supplement a site that you designed yourself. The whole idea of the book originally was to get kids interested in all the other courses that are given in school and use archaeology as a tool for enhancing those studies.
Yeah, there's at the beginning, there's a great part where you talk about, you know, how it incorporates math and, you know, science and language arts and things like that into the archaeology projects. So it really lays out, you know, how you can do a lot of interdisciplinary things with your archaeology unit.
Now, follows through all the way to the writing of the report for the site, and you get editorial skills, newspaper skills. I have a place in there where you actually put on a presentation on a local television using kids to discuss their site for the public. I have kids going from their classroom with their artifacts that they've uncovered, and taking them to other classrooms in the school, and even taking them to other local schools to show what's been found. So it goes to the full length of the project.
Now, I think probably when most people think about archaeology, and you kind of talk about this in your book a little bit, they think of Indiana Jones. So yeah. Is that a positive thing or a negative thing? Is that really a true description of
what... Well, I got to tell you, when I was teaching college, archaeology was archaeology, and we had interested students, but nothing spectacular. And it was in the summer of 1980, I think, that Indiana Jones came out as a movie. And we went to see it from the site. And I said, I remember seeing it, and I remember sitting there with a couple of the other students and thinking to myself, oh my God, is this going to change things? We went back that fall to the fall semester, and I had an archaeology, it so happens I had an intro archaeology class that fall. I went in with my leather jacket on and a fedora, which I happened to have had, and I wish I had had a whip. I subsequently bought a whip for classroom use, but I didn't that first time. I walked into class, and the class was aghast. Anyway, I think that despite the way it presents archaeologists as somewhat attractive and exciting and romantic, it did more for archaeology than it did not do. Hmm. In other words, it was a positive thing because it drew everybody's attention to it, you know, in a very positive way. And other archaeologists I've talked to felt the same way. We don't carry guns. We don't shoot the bad guys. We mostly get poison ivy. We don't get the girl at the end of the book and all that sort of thing. But it had a positive manifest on archaeology as a discipline, I think. I think most archaeologists would agree.
Well, no, I think like today, the History Channel has Digging for the Truth, and I think
exactly
that's...
Exactly what I mean.
That's very popular.
It's opened it up to the public. More people know about archaeology as a result of Indiana Jones.
Now, before we started the interview, you were talking about an activity, a very simple activity you can do in your classroom where you don't have to go outside and get dirty, but kind of introduce the students to the whole idea of stratigraphy. Could you describe the candy bar activity again?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, one of the difficult things is describing anything in terms other than the terms inherent in the object itself. So what I do with the class is I give each kid a candy bar, and I cut it in half. The reward is if they get a description well enough, they get the candy bar to eat. You always have to have that incentive.
Yeah.
And I cut the candy, well, I use a Snickers bar, but you can use any bar that has layers. And then I ask them to describe it, and they have to describe it, and they cannot use any of the terms that we would normally use to describe candy. They can't use caramel, they can't use the terms liquidy or milky or chocolatey. They have to use terms that are neutral, so to speak. So the peanuts, they can't say round like peanuts. They are peanuts. See, they have to describe it in other terms. And they'll struggle over this, and it's not an easy thing to do, even for a teacher.
Now, you talk about several projects that you've done in the book. What is your most memorable project that you've done with students throughout your career?
Using students? When I was in 1980, I dug a site in southern Ohio near about 30 miles north of Cincinnati. And we found a snake, as it turned out. We didn't discover this until 3 years after undertaking our initial shovelful. But we didn't have any... The site happened to be located on the property of Dayton YMCA, Camp Kern. It was down on the banks of the Little Miami River.
Hmm.
And we had a limited crew of people from YSU. I had about five members from YSU as my full-time dig crew. So we decided to use some of the older kids at Camp Kern, which was readily available to us, with kids that were 16 years old. So we dug the first year, half of my team was high school kids, then the next year, half the team, and then the year after that, we actually instituted a school for anthropology students that were in high school. And we dug a site which turned out to be a 180-foot-long snake
Wow.
That was built about 700 years ago out of limestone flagstones and was used as a summer solstice marker by the Fort Ancient Indians.
Mm.
Later, it got put on the National Register of Historic Sites.
Wow. And that was mostly student. I mean, those are students and you doing the whole work, right?
That's right. And they got credit for it, too. And people pass by that site every year to see it. It's right below the shadow of Fort Ancient. That's probably the most dramatic site. And then after that, almost every site I've dug since then, I've used students.
Hmm.
Somehow, when I wrote this book, it culminated a lifetime of teaching below the level college level, and that's what made me think I could do it with even below the high school level.
Hmm. Now, one activity in the book describes an archaeology activity with a trash can that you could do possibly like in school. Can you tell us a little bit about that activity?
Well, that's the same thing in a way as my stratigraphy one. What that teaches them is how to observe stratigraphy. You get a trash can from another room in the classroom. The idea, the way it's set up is teacher goes out of the classroom and brings in trash cans from other rooms in the school. The kids have to carefully extract the material, noting how deep in the basket it is compared to other materials, making a note of what it is specifically that comes from each quadrant of the wastebasket and from each stratigraphic level, so to speak. And then they have to interpret their finds. They have to play detective. They have to say, well, we've got a lot of library passes in here. This must be from the library.
Hmm.
This one must be from so-and-so's room because she's dealing with this subject, et cetera, et cetera. So they learn to place the artifacts in the context of their use and thereby interpret the site.
Hmm. Well,
they play doctor. So on a smaller scale, I've had them take the teachers, purses and pass them around the classroom. The girls will pass their purses around the classroom, and everybody has to interpret whose purse they're looking at based on what they know about the person and what is found inside the purse. It's like playing detective, so to speak.
That one you probably have to be pretty careful with, I bet, huh? That one you probably have to be pretty careful with if you had purses floating around and kids looking inside the purses and stuff, though.
Yeah. So. Well, you got to be careful what you do. One of the things I'm doing right now is I'm putting together another book on forensic anthropology.
Hmm.
I do forensics for the local sheriff's department, among other things.
Hmm.
And I'm working on a program that's just like the archaeology one, only it teaches kids about forensic anthropology.
Well, it's a great book, and I'll include some links on the page that people can go to find out where to purchase it and a little bit more about the book and about yourself. But if any teacher out there is listening and wants to incorporate archaeology, this would definitely be the first book that I would recommend because it has such great information in it.
And you could tell them, if I could interrupt, you could tell them that if they want to contact me, you can put my number down. I'll be able to bring them up to any more specific information they want.
Okay, I'll do that so that people can get in touch with you.
Sure.
All right, well, thank you very much for taking part of your day
Eric,
out for talking to us.
Eric, I want to tell you, I think what you're doing is a marvelous thing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's
nice to find somebody who's interested in teaching that much.
Well, it's a pretty interesting media. I can get it out there for basically nothing, and it's just kind of a way of sharing ideas and getting the news out. So
keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
You betcha.
Well, there you have our interview with author John R. White, the author of Hands-On Archaeology, Real-Life Activities for Kids. I did include some show notes if you'd like to check out the information on purchasing the book. I also have a link to the Anthropology Department at Youngstown State University. And also there's a link if you'd like to directly talk to Dr. White. You can email him and ask him any specific questions. So thanks again so much to Dr. White for taking time out of his schedule to talk to us about his book. Again, if you're doing something with archaeology, this is the book that I think you should start with. It says on the top that it's for grades 4 through 10, but I really think you could probably either extend it a little bit on either side of that and make it for high school students or even a little bit younger than grades 4. So thank you so much to Dr. White. Thanks for listening to Speaking of History, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thanks for watching today's podcast.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.